Ooh, Athletic Greens, AG1. I haven't stopped taking my AG1. Joe and I live by our AG1. I take it to go when I'm on the road. I drink it every morning when I'm at home. I put it into my shaker. I shake it up and I down it before I eat anything. And then before I even start my day, I have all of the 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens in my body to help start my day. Athletic Greens is a game changer. You don't have to take 1,000 pills. You don't have to worry about the timing of your supplements. All you got to do is shake and drink, and we love it. It's super lifestyle friendly. It's paleo, vegan, dairy free, gluten free. Only 1 gram of sugar. It supports better sleep and recovery from athletics or from whatever you've got going on during the day. It supports mental clarity, alertness. It is amazing. So you can get a subscription. Your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is also very important to add in. It costs less than $3 a day, and it's cheaper than getting all the supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance, basically. So go get your Athletic Greens. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day, and that is it. You don't need a million different pills or a million different supplements to look out for your health. It's simple. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs, which are essential in keeping with your routine. With your first purchase, all you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/daddyissues. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/daddyissues to take advantage over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Cavalry Audio.
Check, check, check. Mic check, mic check.
Man, you're good at that. I didn't know you had that in you.
Oh, are you sitting on the infamous couch outside, if you know what I mean?
You know what? I am. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that couch?
I need to, like, spend a minute alone on this thing.
Yeah, you should just sit and think, you know what I mean, and reminisce, because that was... We're not gonna expose anything, but that couch is famous.
It's a famous couch near a famous hot tub where Oliver and Aaron first made their Cabo debut many moons ago.
Yes. We made love.
Yeah.
I'm not a big water make love guy. I really don't like it. Showers, pools, hot tubs. It's not for me in any way. Yeah. Do you like that?
No. No.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I don't like it. There's too much sensation. The water is not a good thing for things. And I don't know. I don't like it. But, you know, when in Cabo, I guess.
When in Cabo, there's the water. You got to make do. You know who I saw today? Adam Levine. You know what we talked about? His maroon. Ironically enough, suit that you wore to the Fox upfronts, which now is famous. I talked with his workout guy, and I know a lot more things about you. Like, you were working on your shot well after the 1 hour basketball workout. Adam was surprised you didn't own your own suit that you could wear to the Fox upfronts. In fact, I'm surprised you wore a suit. Fox up fronts. I'm just shocked that you two are basically the same size. I was standing with him, actually sitting with him, and I'm looking at him, and I know you, like, I know a member of the family, and I don't see how his suit was a good fit for you, but it was.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Because how do you think we differ? Like, what was your surprise when you sort of see Adam and then you see me? Do you think that I wouldn't fit into a suit, or a suit would be too big, or where are you going with it?
I would think that, let's just say, you're surprisingly slim, mm-hmm. which I should know that because of the golf clothes that you wear and the way, like, size 34s or 32s like fit on you. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like something that would be, I assume if I had the body of Adam Levine, you would have to paint a suit on me. And I feel like the painting job of a suit, which would be cut in a way that would make it very form-fitting, I just don't feel like that would fit you, but it did.
Well, it was close. It was a little small. Like, if this was my suit, I would need to have it altered just a tad. In the chest area is a little tight, under the arms a little tight, and then the pants were short. My legs are longer than his. So
I feel like you're taller than him too, no?
I think we're the same height. He's just, I have longer legs or something. I don't know. But
you have dancer's legs.
I have dancer's legs. It's exactly right. I have dancer's
legs. Which you get from your mom.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you, Mom. And so I had to just roll with it. And I had to wear interesting socks because they were too short. And I just said, fuck it. Just go with it. Just do it. It looked groovy. It looked porny, you know, mustachy. I had a whole vibe going. And then your favorite paper picked it up.
New York Post. They had you being quoted as saying, I don't have a career in porn, but if I did, this is the kind of suit that I would wear, or something to that effect, which was
well done.
I was oddly proud of you for all of that. I thought it was good.
Oh yeah. No, it was good. And then of course, you know, they're like, well, where did you get this suit? And then, you know, I brought up Mr. Levine, and I mean, I think I made him famous.
Yeah, you did. He added a little extra pep in his step because he got into the New York Post by you wearing his suit.
Yep. Is he still there? Did you guys hang?
Just hung over breakfast, brought the boys over. They were playing with his girls, and then he had a house full of people. They're staying at
Meldman.
Casa Meldman, and now they're shoving off right now. So they're out.
All right. Well, at least you got a minute.
Yeah. Such a great guy. Such a normal, great guy.
He is. He is a really good dude. Well, I'm jealous, dude. I love that you're there. And
here, look. Let me see if I can flip this out. There we go.
You're on an iPad. What is that barrier?
That's for the boys.
You have them in cages now, huh? It went from the monkey lock to just full-on detention cages. Jesus.
Yeah, I got these half price.
Oh my God.
No, that's for, look, there's nothing that scares me more than little kids who can't swim being around a pool.
I know. It's smart.
But they're really close. So they had a swim lesson today with their guy, Manny. I mean, they love it down here so much. I was just sitting there watching it thinking, I'm so glad we have this place for them to grow up in and get to know all the people that Natalie and Trudy got to know who just enhanced their lives. The people here are so great.
I know.
And it's just wonderful. And so they're getting really close. Like, if they fell in right now, knock on wood, they could get out. They could get to the side.
But that's a movable fence, right?
Yeah.
Is that permanent?
Yeah, but I mean, so we put this in. Michelle's like, we need to put a fence up. Like, I think they'll be okay. You know, they're never going to be outside without us being around. By the way, there's a cactus. Another great thing to have around four-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
So there's a cactus. There's all kinds of basically booby trapping the house to see if they can survive. But
yeah, it's like the Goonies.
Yeah. So they've got a cactus to navigate, and then they've got this crazy fence. We didn't know what the fence was going to look like when we said, hey, can you put something up? The boys are now able to walk, and we don't really want them, you know, being able to just walk out if we happen to leave the door open and fall into the pool. And maybe there's somebody who's listening who has some horror story or horrific tale of something like this. And so they're like, yeah, we got it. No problem. So then we come back and this is like a mild detention center fence.
Yeah, it's like a border fence. It's like Trump came in and put up a fence and
I knew threw you in were some, gonna say that. Some I just space knew blankets. You were gonna say that. Look at that.
Like some space blankets in there for warmth. And I mean, what? Yeah, it's.
I mean, I can't even get out of it. It takes me half an hour to unlock the thing. And well, then we've got child locks on top of the doors that they can't get up and onto.
But why would you put barbed wire on top of these fences?
Well, I mean, they could climb up and, you know, it's a good lesson for them to learn that.
Yeah, it's extreme, but I guess
if there's a fence, there's a reason there's a fence. So the barbed wire is in case they get to the top, you know, they're not getting over it.
You'd rather them get all cut up than fall in the pool.
Right.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
But so listen to this. So here's our day yesterday. Okay, first of all, last week, I don't even know if we talked about it, but last week, Wyatt breaks his arm. Did we talk about this in the podcast?
No. I just got a picture from Michelle of his broken arm.
Yeah, so it's horrible. And we were in LA for Trudy's graduation. Hold on, let me flip this back around. We were in LA for Trudy's graduation. I'm playing Bel Air in an all-day thing that Chris O'Donnell put together. Like, it's called British Day. And, you know, just very country clubbish and very, you know, we ate beef Wellington for lunch. They had to wear a tie for lunch and go back out. I mean, Chris loves that kind of stuff.
So
anyway, I'm at lunch. Or no, I'm getting off the course after the second 18, and Michelle's called me 41 times. Wyatt broke his arm. And during the time that she was trying to call me, it was in the balance whether he was going to have to go into surgery because it's by the growth plate in his elbow. He broke his funny bone and some other, they were in weird places, and they had taken a picture of it, like an x-ray, and they're like, we think we're going to have to go in. Meanwhile, we're stranded out in LA. Michelle's like, I'm about to walk home because we couldn't get home. There are no flights. But fortunately, they took another picture of it, and he didn't need surgery. So he's got a cast. He's a trooper. He's not complaining about it at all. It's not itching yet. So knock on wood,
He can't swim though. Or do you put something on his cast?
No, these are now waterproof casts.
Oh, wow.
So he's been swimming and taking baths and all that. So he swam. He had his lesson today. But so here's our day yesterday. We're waiting. We're going to fly. Yes, I'll just admit it. We flew privately down to Cabo. The listeners are going to have to get over it.
No, it doesn't. Look, you have worked hard and afforded yourself to be able to fly private when you so choose. So, you know, this, whatever.
Well, I don't do it all the time. Certainly,
I fly commercial and I fly coach.
So Michelle goes to get a prescription and goes to the bank, comes back, is backing her friggin' Tesla in. Don't get me started on that car. To charge it while we're gone. And the garage door comes down and smashes through the back window of this Tesla SUV. And it is shattered. I mean, there's glass everywhere. The car's bent. She walks in, she's like, we've got a problem. Like, oh my God. So now we're cleaning up glass, getting the bags in the car, whatever. We get to the airplane. The boys are excited to get to Cabo. You know, we're trying to time it well. So maybe they'll take a nap and you know, they're going to be, it took damn near 6 hours to fly down here because we had to stop and get gas in San Antonio and blah, blah, blah. And we're trying to time it up. The pilot is getting on the plane and smashes his head against the door and cuts his head open. And now he can't fly the plane. So now we got to wait for another pilot to fly in. We fly in, you know, so now we're supposed to get in at 1. We get in at 5. It's been a long day, whatever. Nobody has any sympathy for that.
By the way, this teaches you not to fly private. You know,
well, we would have gotten here way quicker.
Way quicker.
Easier commercially.
That's right.
And then we get here. Wyatt gets his swimsuit on. He goes in the pool. He comes running up here, and I'm walking out, and he goes, "Daddy, Daddy." And his feet on this marble flooring, his feet slip, go out from under him. I watch him in the air, like counting his change, and then wham, he slams down on the marble with his head on the back of it. And I hear his cast go, thunk. I'm like, oh my God. And he's crying so hard he can't breathe. And, you know, it was like, well, I guess things do happen in threes. It went from Michelle's car being basically destroyed, pilot's head, and now Wyatt, this is our welcome to Mexico. We're about to go to an emergency room.
He hit his head, the back of his head hard.
The back of his head against the step. Oof. And then the cast was like, thunk. I'm like, oh my
That's
God.
That's scary.
And I mean, he was crying, couldn't breathe, wasn't making any noise. Like one of those things where he's like,
Yeah.
You know, it's just coming.
Yeah.
And finally, he let it out. He cried for a minute and then he was good. And we got in the pool and that was that. So that was our welcome to Mexico.
God, man, the hitting of the back of the head is always scary, you know?
Yeah.
It's always scary. It's just, you just never know what the fuck life is going to bring you, you know? It's just,
somebody said, I don't know who, I think it's in the wake of this horrific Texas shooting.
Oh, God, I can't even talk about it.
But I can't. You can't even wrap your head around it.
No, I can't. This is too much.
But something has to change. But we don't have to go down that path.
We're not going down that path. But like, it's just fucking nuts.
There's such simple things that should change. Like sickness.
It's crazy. It's fucking. Anyway. Yeah.
But they said, you know, you can't ever. It's a fallacy to say that you're protecting your children. You're trying. I mean, you can. But unless you put them in a bubble and you don't ever leave the house and they don't leave a room, I mean, it's roll of the dice.
Yeah.
It is. It's just the way life works. You don't know what's coming your way. So it's.
No, of course. And by the way, there's so much. I'm sure we've talked about it, but there's so much luck that plays in to our safety as adults and children and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? As we just travel through life, we have to be lucky. I mean, there are so many chances that in my life, you know, that could have gone bad and they just didn't. And then you hear about a kid who's just walking down the street and rolls his ankle and hits his head on the curb and he's dead.
Yeah,
you know, and then I'm, you know,
think of the venereal diseases that could have killed you alone.
Oh God! Well, I only had one. I had chlamydia, but you know, that was in college, and I freaked the fuck out because I didn't know what was going on. But I went to go pee, and it didn't look right. You know what I mean? I don't want to get graphic. And then I peed, and I was like, oh man, it kind of hurts. I don't know what's going on.
What didn't look right? The pee didn't look right.
Well, you know, there was a little seepage, you know what I mean? You're like, what is that? And then I go to the doctor, the urologist, and he's, and it's college in 1994, and I go to the doctor, the urologist, and I'm like, what is it? And he's like, well, you got chlamydia. And I didn't know what chlamydia really was, and I freaked out.
I have no idea. I don't even.
Well, because it was, you know, HIV was really scary, and I didn't really know much about venereal diseases, and I had chlamydia. I was like, no, I was like freaking out, like, doc, like, how long do I got, man? Like, I was freaking out, and he's like, relax. He had to literally calm me down. He goes, you take some of these antibiotics, and you're done. He's like, more kids in this school have chlamydia than they have the flu. So you're fine.
What school were you going to?
I went to Boulder.
Oh, this is college. Yeah, okay.
It's college. And that was the only venereal disease I had, but I admit it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I called up the girl who I was kind of sleeping with at the time because I wanted to be up front, and I call her up and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to say her name. Hey, so-and-so, I just got to tell you something. And she goes, wait, well, she's like, okay, hold on. I got to tell you something first. I'm like, okay. And she's like, So I have chlamydia. And I'm like, okay, when did you get it? And she's like, however long ago, which was before me.
Oh.
So she had given it to me. And I was like, that's fucking crazy because I was going to just tell you the same thing. But obviously you had it first, you know. And she had been sleeping with this other dude. And
did you know the other guy?
Yeah, kind of.
Did you walk by him next time on campus and give him a little wink? Just put a C up?
Yeah, we actually shared a bowl of clam chowder to celebrate.
God. You know, you always have to take it to a place that it just does not need to go.
I'm sorry, but anyway, it was like, yeah, I think you probably gave it to me. I was like, well, it doesn't matter, whatever. We you know. Anyway, that's my venereal disease story.
So glad I brought it up. I know.
Well, I took a hard left turn. I was talking about something else, and then you brought it up.
You're talking about like life and being able to protect your kids and horrible stories of
nothing
that leads to something horrible.
Right,
and tragic.
You made a venereal disease.
Nobody
joke.
Is immune from any of that. It's my fault. I brought it up.
No, yes. Where I was going was the kid can fall down and hit his head on the curb by rolling his ankle, but I was 16 years old, you know, going 120 miles an hour with like coked up, you know, 26-year-olds in LA thinking I'm going to die and being like, what the fuck am I doing? Why did I do this? But I just got lucky. I mean, one little false move and I could be dead. So you have to obviously make good decisions and choices, which at times in my life, I definitely did not. But at the same time, you have to get lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm dealing with that with Wilder right now. He's 14 and, you know, he's out in the world. He wants to go to parties and he wants to go out with his friends and go hang out at Century City or the malls or whatever the hell they want to hang out now. And, you know,
is that all that malls are good for now?
Just
hanging for like 15, 16 year olds?
Kind of.
Are there still arcades?
That's what I
did.
That's, yeah. Well, yeah.
Did you go to arcades? Like that for me, like the little Midwestern fatty that I was, like going to an arcade was like, that was utopia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Arcades back in the day. It was great. No, not so much anymore. The kids are so into like VR and everything's on their phones and the arcade game is a bit obsolete, you know?
Yeah, that sucks. Because those were, I remember, this is a real left turn, but I remember there was a place in St. Louis called the Magic Castle or something. And then we would go to this other place during spring training when I'd bring friends down there when my dad was doing the Cardinals and we go to Funland and you go in there and when the game Dragon's Lair came out that was animated and you could actually move an animated character because I grew up, I mean, my earliest memories are
playing like
Pong.
Yeah.
Atari,
yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
Still loved it. But then it was like, oh my God, this is a cartoon and it's Dragon's Lair, a fantasy adventure game where you become a valiant knight and you're fighting these things. I mean, it was such a sea change. I was like, oh my God. And then you get to this skee ball was still there or whatever you call it where you grew up. And
well, they're still there. Like there's a place called Castle Park that has a batting cage and it's got arcade and it's got mini golf. And they still have all that stuff. Skee-ball will never die. You know, there is something about rolling a ball and jumping it off and trying to get it into a hole. I mean, it's very basic, but
I think it goes back to chlamydia.
It goes back to chlamydia. It goes back to the times. It goes back to early man. I guarantee early man's first game was involved some sort of a round thing or a rock and throwing it into something or hitting a tree or
ugh.
Yeah,
you
being
win.
Like ugh, damn it, like sure.
You get an extra bite of bison tonight. it spits out tickets. You get more bison, like woolly mammoth. You get the tusk tonight. You won. You get more tickets than me.
Yeah. Early
those
man
places
games.
All had a smell that it was just like it made me alive. Like I was in my element in those things. And even in like Bad News Bears, when that came out And I saw that. We've talked about this in the podcast before. I went, my parents took me to that with in the mid 70s or like 76, like right about the time you were born. And I saw that as like a 7 year old or an 8 year old. Mm. My dad was like, what the hell are we watching? I mean, he loved it because it's a great movie and Walter Matthau is amazing. But when Kelly Leak is courting, I think her name was Amanda in the movie, who was my first crush. I can't think of her name, her real name. Mm-hmm. The one that married John McEnroe. Tatum O'Neill. And they're in an arcade and they're playing like air hockey for to see if they're going to go out on a date. I was like, that is where life just happens in an arcade. And you can't, you're not going to be denied life in those places.
Yeah. Well, that was the gathering spot for kids. And now that's over. Because they don't need they don't need those games anymore.
They're on headsets in the basement, like playing against some 45-year-old sketchy guy who's playing Fortnite.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, who's putting on like a girl voice, you know, like, hi, that was great, son.
Grandma voice?
I love Fortnite.
Sonny. You're amazing. Would you like to come over for some soup?
It's like Hansel and Gretel.
Big bad wolf. My, what big teeth you have, Grandma. Ah, the better to play games with, son. What big hands you have. It's so good on my joystick. Yeah.
Oh my God.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg you.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break. Well, let's talk about real quick your entry point into ESPN because we haven't talked about that, right?
We've not. I did 4 hours of 4 days, 4 hours of interviews and golf coverage on ESPN, then ESPN2, and on the weekend, ESPN, then ESPN+. And I don't know why you and I never hooked up on a time. I was just so burnt by the end of it. I was like, I'm gonna get Oliver on. It's like, I don't even want to talk to anybody. I'm just going to sit here. We just watch golf. I'm going to sit here for 45 minutes and then I can clock out and get out of here. It was too long. It was fun. I had a blast.
Yeah.
Michael Collins, who I did it with, I love.
He's the best.
I would do anything with that guy. He's so good.
Yeah. He's
but
great.
I was just like, we should have done 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
And just had it on ESPN. But I mean, my God, we had Justin Thomas hopped on after his round on Friday.
Oh,
he's leading the PGA Championship. He got on in a hoodie from his couch with his dog laying on his lap. And because I've done a bunch of stupid, like, bachelor party videos for him. And I'm like, hey, payback's a bitch. But when you get back to your place, you're chiming in on this thing. So he came on.
Yeah. We talked to him when I was in Cabo. Remember, we FaceTimed him.
Yeah. Right. Right. So that came back.
That's
around.
Cool. Oh, that's cool. That's great. Yeah.
And he ends up winning, which was even better.
Yeah.
But yeah, John Daly came on. He was smoking throughout the entire thing. Ham came on.
Fun, you know, dude.
Nick Saban came on right after all these comments about Texas A&M buying their team. And, you know, he could have easily tapped out. I think those guys are smart, though. They know that they have an opportunity to fine-tune what they said and basically get out. He knows I'm not going to embarrass him. I was like, hey, do you want to clarify anything you said? And then he had a prepared statement, and then he move on and go back to golf. Barkley.
Yeah.
I mean, so many cool guys. And
that's
Dallas
fun,
came
dude.
On, Julie Engster and Annika Sorenstam. And I mean, it was just Doris Burke. It was great. But
Was it fun? Was it funny? Was there a standout like guest? Not to, you know, say one was better than the other, but one that you...
Will Arnett.
Really? Well, tell me. I didn't see it.
So he comes on and we had a, you know, he's got that deep voice and he did it from his little corner of his basement where... he does voiceover for truck commercials, and he can and his podcast, and he can modulate his voice and he can put echo on it. So Michael and I'm like, I mean, we haven't even had a chance to go over here and do sit in this golf cart, because they had a big screen and a little chipping area. So we sat in the golf cart. I'm like, Will, I mean, you sell trucks. If you had to put bread on the table, how would you sell this Easy Go cart? He's like, so he gets his deep voice. He's like, Easy Go. Because sometimes you have to go. And when you go, you want to go easy. Easy Go. And it just, it was awesome. It was that kind of stuff. I mean, it was very... Yeah. It was just by the end of 4 hours, and being on camera for four straight hours live is hard. I mean, there's no let up. You're just constantly like, smiling at the camera. It's, I'm not complaining, but it's like, my God, I just want to be off camera. I want to interview somebody where they're not seeing.
I would tune in and watch you guys for a minute, but just because I know you so well. Like, there were times I was looking at your face, I'm like, oh, Buck is so somewhere else right now. I mean, you were just like blank faced, or like, huh?
I was like, right. Well, here's the other thing. There's also a PGA championship going on. So I'm used to, my whole life, it's like you're there 105% of your concentration is on that event. You have to be on it. And now the event is going on, which I actually care to watch. And I'm interviewing people, and, you know, I've got a producer in my ear going, here's Spieth's third shot at four. So I'm like, do I jump back over here and cover golf? Mm-hmm. Do I listen to this guy's answer? Do I play off Michael Collins? There were so many things going on for four straight hours, and I'm trying to split my concentration. I'm listening to the producer, watching the golf, trying to figure out something clever to say about that, trying to come up with a question, trying to not step on Michael. I mean, it just was... Mm-hmm. My head was swimming by the end of this thing. And that was day one. And then the next day it's like, oh my God, we're doing this again. Then you do it again. Then you do it again. And you're up at 6 a.m. doing it. And it was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 4 hours is a lot. A lot.
I mean, think about it. Peyton Manning and Eli Manning did their Manning cast. They were our first guests and they were great. But let's say they did 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's 8 times 3, you know, that's 24 hours spread out over the course of a football season.
Yeah.
We did 16 hours over 4 straight days.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, hey, it's by the end of it, you're just like, oh my God.
Do we know how it did, or how do you do? Was it? Was
The rating on ESPN, the guy texted me, he said the rating on ESPN was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the rating on ESPN Plus was really good. Like, people switched over. Cool. And I had comments from really weird places of friends that I would never think would be watching it. I also spread it around, like Mark Miller, who's my good buddy, who's taught me golf and he's become one of my better friends. He flew to St. Louis. He came on for 15 minutes, killed it, talking about the golf swing, talking about neuroses with my golf swing and kind of evaluating golf swings that we were seeing. And he was great. It's like he was a veteran of television. I was really proud of him. But yeah, it for that to be my debut on ESPN is not at all what I expected my debut would be. So
yeah.
I'm kind of done there now.
It's cool though. It's a good way, you know. It's like a little more casual, and let's go. I mean, it's not so precious.
It's not precious, you know? And I could laugh. It's good to be seen for the first time, like laughing and making fun of yourself. And
exactly.
I made fun of my golf like right out of the gate. I'm like, hey, we rehearsed this yesterday and I started just covering golf. And it was like, all the bosses at ESPN were like, yeah, we know you did 5 years at the US Open at Fox, but do us a favor and don't do any golf.
Right.
That's a bad sign. And they're like, hey, you know what you did for 5 years in the US Open? Don't do that.
Right.
So, you know. Right. It was more like, hey, we don't want you covering golf. There's a channel for that.
Yes.
Interact, have fun, laugh, whatever. And I mean, I was pretty free and easy. It was actually probably good for me to have my first thing on ESPN be like that.
Mm-hmm.
For my own mind.
Oh, I think so. I think so. Meanwhile, I was, you know, getting a probe stuck up my ass and down my throat because I got spit roasted. I went front and back. I had an endoscopy. So
the endoscopy goes down the mouth.
Yeah.
They couldn't weasel something up the back end to check your throat?
I asked them, I was like, can't you just go all the way through? And they said, no, we don't do that. I just, you know, I get heartburn now and again. So while I was under, they were like, do you want to do that? I said, sure, you know, check it out. Everything's clean. Everything's good. The prep was, you know, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, you know?
No, it's nothing.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And then
as long as you have a good book or Wordle or Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, I was worried because I didn't even go that much, meaning I did, but I thought I was going to be on the toilet for like 10 hours and you know what I mean?
Beat up. Like,
yeah, no, it was not like that.
With lift off.
Yeah, I didn't have that. It was like blah, 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 blah. And then I go to the thing and everything worked out. It was clear. You know what I mean? I guess I got enough out and, you know.
Did they find anything up in there?
Zero. No polyp. No cancer.
License plates or anything? Or like patio furniture? Anything? They found nothing up there?
Nothing. Absolutely.
No old podcasts or anything?
Nothing.
I was kind of rooting for something to be found, like nothing life-threatening, but something to kind of slow you down in life. But
now, I know.
Now you've got a free bill of it, like a clean bill of health. And it's like, Jesus, all this living that you've been doing, which I envy so much, you're not going to, you're just going to put the pedal down.
I know. No, I'm not though. I've slowed it down. You know, I'm not drinking during the week. So I have, but I know what you mean. You get the clean bill of health and immediately you're like, oh great. Lungs are clear. Ass is clear. You know, everything else is clear.
So now you feel good about smoking for some odd reason.
Which kills me. No, I know.
Kills me.
I mean, I had a cigarette yesterday, but I haven't smoked in 4 days and I'm not a smoker like that. I'm not like an addicted smoker in the sense of I wake up and I need a cigarette. Like I'm not addicted to the nicotine. I'm addicted to the process of it. If I have a drink immediately, I kind of want to smoke. You know what I mean? It's if I'm not drinking, I'm not going to have a cigarette today. You know, because I'm not going to drink today.
Did you hear that helicopter that just went by?
No.
Did you hear that?
Uh-uh.
No. Well, helicopter just went by, and I get it's like a cheap helicopter, like one that somebody built in their garage.
Oh, right.
And I guarantee you, because down that direction is Meldman's house, right now Adam Levine, and they're packing up their car at 12:30. It's now 12:34.
Oh.
And I guarantee you,
they're going to photograph.
They're going to go photograph them packing up their car or out by the pool, and I mean. So that at one time, and these people aren't here anymore. Like A-Rod was here as a member and an owner. DiCaprio was here as a member and an owner. Clooney was here as a member and an owner. Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber, and it used to be like a flotilla, out in the water, because you can't regulate that. And so Clooney and Cindy built up so much foliage and so many trees and so much blockage that whatever they paid for their lot and this insane house that they basically split was ruined because the view was gone. Like you're basically looking at the rainforest out of your backyard instead of the Sea of Cortez.
I mean, that
which
sucks.
Is 1 inch further, which sucks. And so they end up getting out of here. And for a while, I haven't seen it in a while, but they found some tool or some like sonar thing that they could shoot off the beach that would mess up all the electronics of boats that were in the water out there. And then they would have like Navy SEALs were out there but you can't do anything. I mean, it's nobody owns the Sea of Cortez. So, you know, they tried to make it as difficult as they could. But you see that every once in a while, and it made me think of, I don't think I ever told you this, I brought your sister down here. It was Kate, Huli, and Julie Yorn. And me. Like, four friends coming down here. I had nothing to do with any one of them in any way other than I'm friends with them. But we were at the pool one day, and what happens is the private airport, the guys that work there get paid by photographers to go, hey, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio just landed here. He's headed, because they ask you, where are you going to stay? El Dorado. Okay, well, Leonardo DiCaprio's headed to El Dorado. He'll be there in an hour, and then all of a sudden people are out there taking pictures. So they knew that Kate Hudson was in town. And this is when she was with Matt, and you know, they were on again, off again, and all that stuff. And we go out. It's me, Julie Yorn, Huli, and your sister. We're seeing four across at the main pool, and now two boats are out there taking pictures. And your sister's like, oh, my God. Oh, this is the last thing I want. This is the last thing I need. And I got up and I went over and I laid down on top of her. Like, we were having this torrid affair. She's like, get off me, get off me. Like, she's freaking out. And I was like, God, that was worth the trip.
Amazing. Right. No, well, I got married in Cabo at the Palmia. And Sandler was there, and my parents, and Kate, and, you know, that was pretty much the extent of the celebrity. But, like, I think Sandler was a draw. Anyway, during the ceremony, or right before, there were photographers, American photographers, I think, who rented a hotel room right near us. And security got wind of it, and it's Mexico. They don't give a fuck. They broke into the hotel. Unlocked the hotel room and beat the shit out of these photographers, smashed their cameras, the whole deal. Because they can't press charges. They're in Mexico. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was that. But the security.
So like, did anything ever get out?
There's a few pictures from boats, like the boats that were, you know, same deal. Out. You can't do anything about the boats. Is that why everyone left El Dorado? Like Leo?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think these people are just vagabonds, and they end up, they're like real estate vagabonds. They end up like Cindy and George made triple their investment, and they're like, we'll go to the next one. And then they make triple their investment. And it's amazing. I mean, I just like it too much here. And for the girls, like, my girls would not talk to me the rest of my life if I sold this place, and I could sell this place and probably make double or close.
Guess who else wouldn't talk to you?
Aaron and Oliver Hudson.
That's right.
And maybe, and probably Wilder and Bodie, and maybe even Rio, because that means that mom and dad aren't going to Mexico for 1 week a year, and they can't, you know, do what
every
they
time
want.
We go, every time we go there, they're like, why don't you ever take us?
And he's like,
Uncle Joe doesn't want
you
guys here.
That's bullshit. You should take them down here and just have this place and have them do the El Dorado lifestyle, and they would freak out. They would love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so that's down. My invitation to you on our podcast to bring your kids down here.
Thank you. What if we did a Daddy Issues giveaway?
With my place in Cabo?
That's the winner.
If we get up to, we will do that. I pledge to you right now. If get up to 500,000 downloads per show,
we will
do. So pass it around, listeners, especially the people in Iran, and pass it around. And how would you like to leave Tehran and end up in Cabo at a four-bedroom place?
Yes.
Just pass it around. We get to 500,000 downloads a show. We will raffle off, or one lucky listener will win a week at El Dorado in Cabo San Lucas during a week of there. It's not even mutually agreeable. You tell me what week you want.
I love this.
Christmas.
Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if there was a way to somehow, you know, from analytics. If you put on a contest to see who can get you the most listeners. So it's like April from New Jersey, you know, actually was able to facilitate 100,000 new listeners, you know?
Yes. And April, come on down. This place is yours.
Exactly.
How would you like to leave New Jersey, April?
Yeah.
And come down here in April and enjoy Cabo San Lucas.
And if there is anyone named April listening to the podcast, just shoot me a DM.
Yeah.
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 Or we'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna go take the boys to Goldman's house because they have a water slide. Which I mean, what says swimming 4 years old and a broken arm like a water slide
that's
unregulated at somebody's house?
That's perfect, dude. It's perfect. You it's better that they go and continue life with the cast on. You know,
yeah.
Just imagine if you broke the other arm, and then that would be bad. Are you playing any golf down there while you're there or no?
I will. Probably this weekend I will. Might hit balls later today, but I'm kind of starting my I did before fatty pictures. I'm doing like a workout thing that I have to do an hour a day of lifting. And then do cardio and whatever, but I have to get that done today. So that's my priority.
Is this a pledge for yourself?
Or just for myself. Just
it is.
12 weeks. See what happens at the other end. And wow. if the pictures are good enough, I'll post them. If they're not, then I won't.
Wait a minute. Hold on. And then we're going to go. I just want to get into this for 2 seconds. So wait a minute. This is a challenge that you have created for yourself. Right.
With my friend Ryan Manzik, who I work out with, who trains me in St. Louis. We have a specific workout that's kind of fat burning, but it's a lot of lifting and burning calories that way. And then trying to do at least a half hour of some sort of cardiovascular exercise every day.
Every day. Not even on a Sunday.
Even on a Sunday.
Okay. This is good. I need to get back into shape myself. Maybe I'll do that.
I think if you and I could shame each other, but you have no shame. I it's not like I'm ultra protective. There's nothing that we could threaten that would make you follow through on this. Like it just, you don't worry about stuff. So
I know. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Cause that'd be fun to do just to keep each other motivated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what it takes.
I know. All right. Well, I'll let you go get your pump on, be with the kids.
The loser is injected with chlamydia.
I'm immune.
Crabs.
How about the loser gets like big saline filler in their lips that goes away in like a week?
That sounds horrible.
My mom had to do that for First Wives Club because there was a scene where she injects her lips and they're huge and insane. And she doesn't do that really normally. And then so she had to put saline in her lips that you know, your body absorbs quickly. But they were
theoretically, huge. But I would be freaked out that it wouldn't go down.
Yeah, but that's the deal.
That's our deal?
Yeah. How's Michelle, by the way? She good?
She's good. She's
How's
good.
She doing with her dad and everything? Is she feeling a little bit better? Is she
yes, I turn? Actually okay. said I actually said to her yesterday that she's better. Like she's more herself.
Good. Oh, good.
So she's kind of back.
Good. Yeah. Love it. All right. Yeah. We'll send my love and have fun with the boys. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Peace be with you.
All right. Be with you. Peace.
Bye.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Buck, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.